for even a time like this, to wait in your presence. Your holy word says that they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be run and not faint. Father, we thank you, Lord, that it has been a useful time. It has been a great time. We thank you that it has not been a wasted time, but rather our strength has been renewed. Our strength has been renewed. Our strength has been renewed. Father, yay! Our youth has been renewed. And Father, thank you that even by staying in your presence, the anointing upon our life has increased. We thank you that we are going out of this place as a victorious people, as a strong army, as a strong army, as a triumphant people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hand together for the Lord. Please be seated. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? Tell your neighbor, it's time well spent. Some of you ladies, if there's a lady by instead of you could have been at the beauty salon today. Having a new wig. Having a Brazilian hair. But tell the person, it's not by Brazilian hair. It's not by a new wig. It's not by new nails. It's by the anointing. And as you have come here today, you have received an anointing which a Brazilian head cannot do for you. Yeah, I'm telling you. Hey. It's not even my Peruvian head. It's my anointing. Hallelujah. Yeah. So don't miss an opportunity like this. I'm telling you. Because some impartation. Look, a time in God's presence is never wasted. Don't be deceived at all. Any time you spend in God's presence is never wasted. Hallelujah. Amen. And what you can achieve in His presence, you cannot achieve outside. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So don't let Satan deceive you at all. Oh, I could have gone to, I needed to do some shopping. I needed to do. I'm preaching to you. Don't let the devil, I needed to take my child. I've taken my children here. I needed to do some assignment. I needed, no. That is actually a deception of the enemy. Because Satan knows that as you've been here, you will be more equipped to fight. To defeat him. See, actually, the thing at the end of the day, it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by my spirit. When you are anointed, what it will take people 10 years to do, the anointing can make you do it one day. Yeah. Yeah. When you are anointed. Yeah. That is why when the hand of the Lord fell upon Elijah, the Bible said that Ahab had a chariot. Ahab was running with a chariot. Elijah had no chariot. He had nothing. And Ahab was riding. Okay? Ahab was a far speed. Because he had a chariot. Elijah had nothing. But the Bible says when the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, he outran. By the time they got to the final destination, Ahab was looking at the back to see where is Elijah. When he realized Elijah was already there. Elijah was like, where's the guy? By the time he was at the first line. You see, you understand what I'm saying? So, there is something about the anointing and when it comes upon your life. It doesn't matter what people, what qualification, degrees, and skill people have. Hey, I'm telling you, you must listen to Bishop Message Joe. You must desire a blessing. The anointing is a blessing. When they say you are blessed, you are blessed. I say when they say you are blessed, you are blessed. Hallelujah. And times like this, it brings a blessing. It brings a blessing for your life. Hallelujah. So it's never wasted. So don't let Satan lie to you at all. The Bible says, if the iron is blunt, then it's much force required. If the iron be blunt, then it's much force is required. Iron sharpened iron. In other words, you are better off taking your iron to the, whatever they sharpen it, and spend the extra 30 minutes to sharpen the iron. Sharpen it so that when you come, within 10 minutes, this thing is cut. As opposed to coming with the same blunt iron, because you say you don't have 30 minutes to go and sharpen the iron. This machine wastes my time. Let me go and so you come with your blunt iron, and it takes you a whole day and muscle and time, but somebody has spent some time to sharpen the iron. So what it takes you 2 days to do, the person comes in 30 minutes, the thing is cut. That's what it does. That's what it does. That's what Satan doesn't want you to sharpen your iron. So meetings like this, the devil doesn't like it. So those who criticize meetings like this, they are agents of Satan. I came to tell you, they are actually agents of Satan. Fight, oh, is it necessary? We don't need to come. No. They are agents of Satan. Yeah. Because they know. The devil knows. Yeah. As for me, I believe in the anointing. I believe in sharp iron. The iron must be sharp. I am too busy, I don't have time to waste. Yeah. Yeah. This is it. Amen. Sit down. Let's start about the available vessel. Hallelujah. The way I have come with energy, you know, where we have to close. Let's start with the available vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So every time you start something like this, Satan will send agents. Yeah. Because he knows, look, your life is far better off with times like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's start with the available vessel. The vessel that is available. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings. It said that now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take him my two sons to be born men. It's not a small situation. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Some people want us to borrow a few vessels. Some people, hey, Lighthouse, you are too much. Isn't it enough? They want us to borrow a few vessels.
Too many services.
Too many services. Too many branches. One church, you want to have branches everywhere. Hey! Borrow not a few. One church. Don't you have enough branches? Shepherds. Too much. Too much meetings. Too much. Borrow not a few. Wow. Borrow not a few. Cheeseburger is everywhere. McDonald's is everywhere. Not a few. Not a few. I said not a few. Borrow not a few. Yeah. Some of you who are used to everything small, oh, something small in my corner, borrow not a few. I'm preaching to you. Yeah. I want something small. No, he said, borrow not a few. Yeah. Borrow not a few. Empty verses. Borrow not a few. Verse number. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set that which is full. So keep on pouring. So he went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And she said unto her, there is not a vessel more. There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Oh, somebody say, oh. Somebody say, oh. And the oil stayed. Church, I want to see, this is a very interesting story. Hallelujah. And a great revelation. First of all, it's like a woman, you know, who's married the husband. The husband died, you know, and then they were broke. You see, which is a revelation for some sisters. Be careful who you marry. Somebody, remember when you marry them, when they can easily sell you. That's just a side message. Some husband, when you marry them, your life is on for sale. May God deliver you from a for sale husband. Hallelujah. Yeah. I tell you, amen. But that what I want to share, you see, with us is that so the man of God said, what do you have? He said, I have but a few. He said, go borrow. Not a few. You know, this is a very simple story. The miracle, okay, the extent of the miracle, or how far the miracle went, or how far the miracle will go, it's not dependent on the oil. As for the oil, plenty day. As for the anointing, there's a lot. As for the power of God, there's a lot. But it is dependent on the number of vessels. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? It is dependent. It means that if he had 50 vessels, you have all of them full. If he had 100 vessels, so as for the oil, as for the anointing, as for the grace in Lighthouse Chapel on Bishop Dag, there is plenty. The question is, are you an available vessel? Are you available? That's all. It's not that the anointing is finished. It's not that the grace of God, the power is finished. A lot. So the miracle is not dependent on the oil. It's dependent on the availability of the vessel. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, why am I sharing this with you? Because, you see, so if we are not seeing a certain growth, or we are not seeing a certain breakthrough, it's not because your pastor is not anointed. It's not because the pastor is not anointed. It's the question is, are the shepherds available? As for the oil, it is there. As for the oil, it is there. Are you, yes, available? It's the availability. That's what I'm talking about, the available vessel. Is the vessel available? It's not that the pastor is not anointed. It's not, no. Are there available vessels? And how far is dependent on number? Even if 10 people are only available for the work, only 10 will be filled. If 100 people are available, it will be filled. If 200, so the question is, how many are available?
For a retreat.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's the availability of the vessel. Hallelujah. That
is why 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20, it says in a great house. In a great house. In a great house. There are many vessels. Some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man will purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor. Fit unto God for every good work unto the master's shoe. It's the question is, are you an available vessel? Reason why we have a branch in our body is because he was an available vessel. He said, I am available. That's why there's a branch in our body. If it was not available, there will no branch in our body. Maybe the reason why we don't have a branch in Albuquerque, New Mexico is because nobody is available. But once somebody is available, there will be a branch over there. So the oil, there is no shortage of the oil. It's the availability of the vessel. That's all. As for the oil, plenty, mucho. Oil, plenty day. The anointing, miracles, a lot. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen, every spirit. I'm showing some revelation. Every spirit needs a vessel to operate in. Yes. Spirits don't float. Every spirit needs a vessel. I'm talking about the importance of a vessel. Hallelujah. In fact, it's just like coffee or liquids. Okay. You say, good English say, I want a cup of coffee. You don't say, I want coffee. Because you didn't go to good school, I say, I want coffee. But the proper English, you say, can I have a cup of coffee? You don't say, can I have coffee? No, no, because coffee doesn't float. Can I have a cup of tea? Because they need a vessel to be transmitted. So, because you didn't go to a good school, I say, please, give me Coke. No, a bottle of Coke. English. Yeah. English. But because you didn't go to a good school. Please, can I have Coca-Cola, please? No. It's a bottle of Coke. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Sharpen your English. Hallelujah. So don't say, please, tea, please. No, a cup of tea. A bottle of Coke. You don't say, please give me soup. Say, can I have a bowl of soup? You understand? Not a bowl. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. So everything is a vessel. Spiritually. Hallelujah. Amen. So the anointing also needs a vessel. Hallelujah. That's why if you peg yourself, it shall be a vessel of honor. Because spiritually, if you look, even Satan needs a vessel. The Bible says, when the serpent came, when the devil came, you see, he wanted a medium to speak to. And the serpent was an available vessel for Satan. It does not mean that all snakes are Satan. So the next time you see a snake, I've seen Satan. No, it's not Satan. No. He was just an available vessel. And if you read the manuscripts well, you can understand why he was unavailable. But for the serpent was more guile than all the subtle. You see, certain subtlety, certain cunningness makes you a good vessel for Satan to employ you. So people who talk, they criticize, they have a way of talking in the church. Is it necessary? Really, they are available vessels for Satan. They are because every spirit needs a vessel. Okay? And vessels, and
and you must conform to a certain shape for a particular vessel to fill you, a particular spirit to fill you. You understand? So that is why that serpent, by his nature, was an available vessel for Satan. Because Satan could not flow through there. He needs a vessel. Because spirits work through vessels. So it does not mean that every snake you see in the Bronx Zoo is a Satan. Are you hearing me? It was an available, because it was subtle among all. He had the characteristics to for the devil to fear him. Are you hearing me? In the same way, when Jesus confronted the madman of Gadara, he had legion in him. And when he said, come out, they invoke the same old principle. We don't float in air. Give us another vessel. Because they don't float in air. They need a vessel. So they gave them pigs, swine, and they entered the pig and they began to manifest. And they took the pig to the sea and they got drowned. We don't know what happened to them when they got drowned. So if you don't eat pigs because there were demons there, then maybe you shouldn't eat a fish. Then maybe you shouldn't also eat fish. Are you hearing me? In the same way, when God decided to come on earth, when God decided to become a man, God decided to become man, Emmanuel, God needed a vessel. So she found a young virgin who was available to carry that which was. Are you hearing me? Yes. Bible says there was a virgin. She was available. She fitted, because you see, not every vessel can contain everything. Yeah. That's another message. Hallelujah. So are you an available vessel? What is limiting the growth, the flow, the miracle? You see, some vessels are good for miracles. It's the whether you are an available vessel. So he said, borrow not a few. No more. Because how far this thing will go depends on the number of vessels that are filled. So if we have 1,000 vessels, from today, don't say that, oh, the pastor is not powerful, the message is not powerful. Then, no, no, are you available? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Available vessel. And let me tell you something. It is a blessing to be an available vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? It is a blessing to be an available vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do I say so? You say, go, here. Okay, what is in here? Water. A bottle of water. What's in here? How much is this one? A full one. A dollar? How much is it? A dollar? Very good. In the Bronx. If this thing is filled with Coca-Cola, how much would the price be? A dollar? $1.75. Very good. Very good. If this thing is filled with cocoa, how much would it be? $3. Cocoa with $3. It depends. How's that cocoa? How much will it be? $2. In the Bronx. I want only Bronx prices. $3.50. If it's filled with cocoa, it's $3.50. From the African markets. Okay. That is interesting.
If this thing is filled with liquid gold, how much will it be?
1.5.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you are right, it's about 300 ounces. It's about 300 ounces of gold. And how much is an ounce of gold? So, what am I trying to share with you? What I am trying to share with you this evening is that it is the content of the vessel that gives it value. What fills the vessel gives the vessel a value. Yeah. So, if you are an available vessel, exactly. If you are unavailable to be filled with Hausa Koko, then you need a 350. If you are unavailable to be filled with just coke, then you need $1.50. If you are available to be filled with gold, ounce of gold, then you worth millions. And the Bible says that in the great house, there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man will purge himself, so it's a question of, are you available to be filled with that supernatural power, that anointing? Because that thing will change your life. It is a blessing to be filled. It is a blessing to be available. Hallelujah. Most of us, we are borrowed vessels. Say, go borrow. Everything about you is borrowed. There's nothing about you. Nothing about your profession, nothing about your name, nothing about your career. You are all borrowed. Nothing significant. But it doesn't matter whether you are borrowed or not. Once you are available to be filled, your value will change. Hallelujah. So, church, desire that you be an available vessel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Because once a certain unction comes upon your life, immediately your value will change. You who had no meaning to life, suddenly you find a purpose for living.
Amen.
Yeah. You who were once hopeless, when God finds you in his house and fill you with his power, suddenly there will be purpose in your life. Suddenly you have value. Yeah. Availability. Yeah. Availability. Yeah. You whom nobody regarded, once you are available, you see that you have a value. That's what I'm talking about, available vessel. So if we are not seeing certain things in our church, in our ministry, it has nothing to do with the oil. It is more to do with the vessel. Hallelujah. Amen. And still on the vessel. You see, spirits need a vessel to operate. And Satan, listen to me carefully, Satan knows that the oil is limitless. He knows the power is limitless. But Satan also knows very well that the power cannot operate in vacuum. It needs a vessel. So the devil will always attack the vessel so that the vessel cannot contain the oil. He cannot stop the oil. Because as soon as I make holes in this, it cannot contain anything anymore. That is why he will come after you. That is why the devil will come after you. That is why the devil will have to punch holes in you. He will make holes in you with accusation, backbiting, hatred, so that you are an unfit vessel to contain. Because God cannot pour his spirit on a bitter vessel, an angry vessel, a backbiting vessel, an immoral vessel. No! So Satan comes after you to damage you so that you cannot contain the oil. Because as for the oil, he cannot control it. But he knows that the oil needs a vessel. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see, God cannot pour his spirit on a damaged, on something that cannot contain it. So the devil's aim is to damage the vessel. And he damages the vessel. You see, he damages the vessel with a lot of bitterness, offense, hatred, so disappointment. So as even though your pastor is preaching powerfully and oil is being poured, some hatred, some bitterness, some envy, some jealousy has made some holes in you. So everything that is coming is not staying, it is drilling down, and your vessel cannot contain the oil. He will always damage. He comes for the vessel to damage it, so that the vessel cannot contain the oil. Because listen, the vessel is important. The Bible said the Spirit of God, it filled the virgin. God needed a pure young woman to fill. Not everybody can contain the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Satan, he was here before you came. Satan, he was here before you came. You just came. So he knows the system more than you. He knows that one thing that he cannot stop is the power of God. So his aim is not to affect the power of God. His aim is not to stop the power from God. His aim is that I will destroy the container so that the power cannot be contained in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. That is why you must pray that your vessel will not be damaged. I say you must pray that your vessel will not be damaged. Hallelujah. Amen. And two, you must purge yourself. If a man shall purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Anytime any vessel becomes available, it will be filled. So anything that we have not seen in our church, it's not because there's no anointing. It's because there is no vessel. Yeah. If Vicky decides tomorrow that I'm a vessel for Haiti, immediately there'll be a change in Haiti. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? Immediately. Because that's what the oil is there. Just a vessel. Just a vessel. Just a vessel. That's all. The oil is there. If you decide, look, I'm going to be a shepherd in this area, immediately there will be a strong AFM in this area. So, and you'll be filled. God will fill you. And suddenly you find that there's a strong, people will come and listen to you Thursday evening or Wednesday evening for you to teach. And you find that even you begin to find value, because suddenly what has filled you has increased your value. Your value just goes up. Your value just goes up. Your value just goes up. Hallelujah. Amen. So please, let us make ourselves available. And let me tell you something. Satan will damage the vessel. That is his goal. His aim is to damage the vessel. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we shall not allow him. I say we shall not allow him. Amen. Okay. So, with that being said, let me teach you from this book by Bishop Lycos. Lycos. Okay? There's a book by Bishop called Lycos. Hallelujah. Amen. The word Lycos means the layman, because we are all lay. Is anybody who's paid by the church? Anybody paid by the church? So we are all, including your G.O. Reverend, the Honorable Reverend Nat. He still doesn't get paid. The last time I checked, Lighthouse hasn't paid him. If there's one church that doesn't pay, it's Lighthouse. I'm telling you, they don't pay at all. But we are happy. Amen. So if you want a church that will pay you for coming to drum, then go to another church. came to drum for Kro Kro Kro, want us to pay you. People who are preaching, they don't pay them. You want? You're in the wrong place. Hey, I play the keyboard, so I need a transport allowance. For the word. Keyboard transport allowance. There's a game in your eye. Lighthouse is a lay ministry. We don't pay. But it's a privilege. You see, it's a privilege to work in the house of God and not be paid by a man, but to be paid by God. Because man can only give you dollars, but what God can give you, dollars cannot buy. Hallelujah. Lycos. Lycos or layman. Hallelujah. The lay person is somebody who works voluntary. Hallelujah. Having no skills. But let me talk about, you see, the importance of the lay. Because you are all volunteers. Amen. Or what happens? That's what I said about vessels. What happens when there are no available vessels? What happens when there are no laymen or volunteers? The lay person is a volunteer. Okay? Simply put, when you say somebody is lay, it means you are a volunteer. A volunteer means that you are not paid for your services. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means you are not paid for your services. Because we can pay everybody. Because who came to set up the drums? Who did the drums? You set it up. How long did it take you to set up the drums? Okay, 20 minutes. What's your hourly rate? Huh? What's your hourly rate? $16. So 20 is one third of $16 is how much? $8. Okay. Run. Okay, $10. So we owe you $10 after church. Who set up the keyboard?
No, I played it.
You played it. How long have you played the keyboard for? And how long have you been playing the keyboard for?
The whole day.
It was 8 hours. 8 times 150. So how much is that? 1,200. So we owe you 1,200 after church. Who is doing the projector? What's your hourly rate?
$10.
Borrow not a few. We are showing money here instead of increasing your rate. We had somebody say 150. I need you to go up small. $10. Not a few. But anyway, $10. So how long have you been at it? All day? 8 hours. So how? $80. Reverend! I've been preaching the whole day! And his hourly rate is $300 an hour! $12.50 an hour! So multiply it! You listen. Suddenly, do you see that the work of God can be crippled? Now, after we come, so what is your rate? What, how much do we owe you? 1,200. And we owe you what? And we owe you how much, brother? Yours is 8. And then how much do you owe, Reverend? 400, huh? 3,400. So 3,400 plus what? That's 46 plus 80. 468. So that's what you're taking, right? You're going to pay right now. And $8 here. 88. So we are talking about, how much is it now? 4,000? 4,680. Almost $5,000. Now how much offering did you give since you came? How much offering have you given? So have you seen that by that calculation, we're already running in the negative. can cripple the work of God. That can cripple the work of God. But the work of God must continue. Because what God can give you, $5,000 cannot buy.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll come there. We'll talk about the God who rewards. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it is a ministry based on volunteers. Okay? And number one, if you do not allow, you see, the reason why we are involving all of you in the work is that if you do not allow volunteers to work in the ministry, you will kill the Christian principle of sacrifice. Because Christianity is a religion of sacrifice. The symbol of Christianity is not the fish you see behind people's cars. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. Okay? Just like the symbol of Islam is the crescent. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. And the cross represents sacrifice. If any man should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we don't carry cross to a shopping mall. You don't carry cross. Why are you going? I'm going to ShopRite. No. You don't carry cross to ShopRite. Hallelujah. So God is requiring us to sacrifice. Hallelujah. Christianity by its nature requires sacrifice. That is the foundation that Jesus Christ laid for us. A religion of sacrifice. So one of the things that Satan does is in the book of Daniel, he said that when he comes, he shall take away the daily sacrifice. So when we see people complain, you know, it's too much, you don't have to sacrifice, it's too, take away, that is Satan is at work. He shall remove the daily sacrifice from the temple. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Because their religion is based on sacrifice. And therefore, Satan will attack sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. So, by encouraging, you see, what I came to do with you, or whatever, by encouraging you to be a shepherd, a lay person, whatever it is, lay priest, lay pope, lay, you are lay. Well, lay bishop, lay pope, and you are lay. It doesn't really matter what you do. It doesn't matter what title you carry, so long as the church does not pay you, you are lay. You can even be a pope. If they don't pay you, you are lay. I'm lay just like you. Whether I'm reverend or not, we are all lay. Lay bishop, lay pope, lay cardinal, lay chorister, we are all lay. A lay is a lay. And all lay be lay. Hallelujah. See, and it's a ministry that is encouraged in our church and by God. Because it allows you to practice Christianity in its real form, a religion of sacrifice. Because you see, sometimes you don't know what is motivating you. Is it the money? Is it the fame? Is it the prestige? And that is very dangerous. It's very dangerous because you see, thank God, it's very dangerous because you see, people may think that you are great, you are helping, you are being, they give you all the accolades. But inside your heart, something else is driving you. And unfortunately for you, God is looking at the inside. Unfortunate. Where God is, and where God is looking is where matters. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It's a religion of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the fact that you say that on Saturday, I am coming, taking my own time to come and rehearse. Nobody is paying me. See, suddenly you have put away a certain problem. You can say that at least, so far as this choir rehearsal is concerned, I'm not doing for money. Because Reverend Bright is not paying me. So immediately you have qualified for a certain. Hallelujah. So it's actually an opportunity. I read it's an opportunity for you to practice your religion in its true form, a religion of sacrifice. Unfortunately, Muslims have taken the sacrifice from Christians. Yeah. You see, and when it comes to sacrifice, you see, Once again, listen to me carefully. God, we will not all sacrifice at the same level. Yeah. We will not all sacrifice at the same level. Our sacrifices may be different. It depends on what God is asking from you. Yeah. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. But he didn't tell Joseph to but he didn't tell Jacob to sacrifice his sons. Even though there were a lot. So he can't say that, but he has a lot, so why is he not? No. God has a way of demanding a sacrifice. He can say, you have only one, this is what I want. So everybody and their sacrifice. So don't compare your sacrifice to somebody else's sacrifice. How come that, he doesn't do anything? No, maybe that's what God is asking him to do. Yeah. Don't compare sacrifices at all. Yeah. Abraham will say, look, bring your son. Your only begotten son. And he pointed Ishmael. Said, no. This one. This one. Yeah. But you know what? You have plenty. Mucho. But God never asked him to bring any of his sons. So God, sacrifice is dependent. Some he will demand your weekday. Some he will demand your weekends. Some he will demand your weekend. God, everybody and the sacrifices God places on you. So don't compare your sacrifice with somebody else's sacrifice. Sometimes once they compare themselves one another are not wise. How come that, I came Tuesday and Wednesday, she doesn't come anymore, and I don't want to come in. No, your sacrifice is different from her sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand it's a range of sacrifice, okay? And then number two, if you do not allow laymen to work in the ministry, you remove the opportunity for people to demonstrate faithfulness. Yeah. If you see, this is also a ground to test how faithful you are. What a shock. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. It said that he that, Luke 16, 10 to 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that what is your own? What am I saying? You see, I'm talking about lay. Some of you eventually maybe you will be going to full-time ministry and all that, which is fine. But this is the time to prove your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the time to prove your faithfulness. Because if you are not faithful in something that you are not being paid for, how do we know that you'll be faithful? He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. It's also a test of your faithfulness. Whether you are committed to your Savior. He that is faithful in little. Because apart from that also, what you are doing now is little. It's little. Relatively speaking, it's very little. It's not much. So if you are not faithful in just gathering four people to teach them on a Thursday, how do you think God will give you 100 people to pastor? Think about it. Yeah. You don't even want to gather five people to teach. And you are driven, and one day you'll be like, man, hey, take it one day. You go, don't. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So this is also a proving ground for us to demonstrate our faithful. If you cannot gather five people to teach them about the Bible, that's five. How are you then expecting that we should be given a platform at Madison Square Garden? It's not going to happen. But listen. That is why, you see, God chose David to be a shepherd over his people. Because when he gave him those few sheep, he was faithful with those few sheep. He defended a lion and a bear against those sheep. So no wonder God called him that this person has demonstrated faithfulness even in a little sheep. Therefore, he's able to lead my people. Wow. Yeah. You don't, we don't demonstrate spiritualness. I mean, you are a cell leader. We have given you 10 people. You cannot even call them. You can't call them. When was the last time you visited any cell member? And then you are praying that one day you'll be like Bishop Doug. No, it won't happen. Let me tell you something. Bishop Doug, at your age, I knew him because we were friends. At your age, when he was even younger, as a student, he had a list of names even without anybody even paying. That he used to visit on vacation by himself. He was a good shepherd. Nobody used to pay him. He used to go from house to house, visiting the few sheep that God had given him at Achimota School. No wonder God has given him many. If you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. Hallelujah. Yeah. Faithful. Faithful. Yeah. Faithful. Faithful. In little. In little. What we are doing is not much. Think about it. It's not much. For the kingdom of God, what we are doing is not much. At all. But the question is, are you faithful with a little? Are you faithful with a little? Are you faithful with a little rehearsal? Ouch. Little. Hallelujah. Then why do you expect God to give you much? Hallelujah. He that is faithful in little. Amen. So let us be faithful. Amen. It's a chance to prove your faithfulness. Number 3. If you do not allow lay people to work in the ministry, okay, this is the point I talk about. If you do not allow lay people to work in the ministry, you will employ people to do the jobs that do, you see, if you do not allow lay people to work in the ministry, listen to it carefully. If you don't allow lay people to volunteer like this, you will end up employing people to do things that are not occupied them much. I'll explain to you. If you do not allow lay people to do something in the church, you will end up employing people to do something which does not occupy them much. Let's say, lay minister Tamaklo. You are in Albany. What do you do there? No, but what does you do? Huh? LPN. Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Can you imagine if all that he does is to pastor the church in Albany now? How many members do you have?
I have 17.
Can you imagine? Wow. So Monday, Sunday to Sunday, 17 members. That's his full-time job. That's what he does. He has 17 members. Okay? And we are paying him and his wife, his transport, 17 members. To take care of only 17 members. Do you think it is a good employment? With 17 members occupying, a whole week, Monday to Friday, 17 people. I see the revelation. 17 people, a whole day, and that's what he does. Doesn't do anything else. You see, so suddenly you have employed somebody who is not fully occupied. And when the time you employ people who are not fully occupied, they become rebels. That's why your boss keeps you busy. That's why your boss keeps you busy. I remember when I finished my residency and I was working with some guy, the new doctor. He used to load me with a lot of work. And one day I heard him talking to his other colleague. I kept him very busy. Because I don't want them to have time to think about leaving. Because you need them to think about, Taro, let me fill an application here. But when you are so busy. That's a real fellow. And listen. That is logical. Because every time I come across, I'm so tired. Because you need them to go on the internet, search for a new job. But he's working so much by the time you leave. You can't click anything. And I got to keep him busy so he will not have time to think about losing. And fortunately, I overheard it. I said, and that's what happened. That's what Pharaoh did. When the people of Israel decided to leave, he said that because because they are not much, let's double their task. You see, because the truth of the matter is that certain ministry, certain part of the ministry does not require somebody to be paid full time. It will lead to somebody who's not fully occupied. And he lives alone. Rumbling. Disgruntled. And then he will. And how much? Do you think some people can sustain him and his wife? Do you think so? Big man like this? With his car. So he began to complain. Complaining. You see, so. They pay you. So it is also. It is a lighthouse. They send it to Albany. They don't think about it. Look at how much. They doesn't know how much is cold here. And I'm there. No. The gas. You see, but. You see, so. But what I'm trying to share with that. It also. When you have lay people volunteering, it eliminates those problems. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm telling you. It's a blessing for God to use you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. And even so, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3:5 verse 10, he said that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with the increase there is also. What it also means is that, you see, if you do not allow volunteers to work in the ministry, everything done in the church will be related to money. And it's a very dangerous thing to relate things with money. Money is dangerous. I should not relate to you because of money. I should not relate to you because of money. Anything that is done based on money is very dangerous. Because he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Anything that is related with money, be careful about it. So you are happy. See, I don't relate to Reverend because he has money. No. No. Oh, Charlie, he's a rich man. Let me come close to him. No. It will be very dangerous. So don't even choose your friends based on money. Don't let money, the Canaanite spirit, I wonder, I'll tell you about it. Don't let it dominate you. Money. Let your relationship be based on love and the work of God, not on money. Anything that is based on money is dangerous. Anything that is based on money is very... All the church that you hold, they are split. So has left. Yeah. All the fight that you hear about the Ghanaian churches breaking over with each other in the Bronx is money. It's money. It's all money. And if you know what I'm saying, you will agree with me. When you hear that the Lord has called me, I've started my own, it's all money. It's all money. It's all money. We live in the Bronx. We live in the Bronx. Because the person, the assistant is still there. This senior pastor, as people are praying their first time, she'll be standing there. This lady, she works at AT&T. So, she's paid about 5,000 a month. So, that's 500. Okay. This brother, she works at Morgan Stanley. I know here they paid them about 12,000. So, 1,002. Okay. This sister, he works at Costco. I hear they pay them 800, so that's 80. This brother, he works at a bodega down here. I hear they pay him 4. So he's sitting there counting. So as the trust and best is done, he has given a figure in his head. So this man is taking all this money and his wife. And the wife is the one who counts the money. This is what they are getting. And monkey the work, baboon the chop. So the next time you see now, the Lord has called me to. The Lord has given me a revelation that the Lord has called me to the ministry and he has given me a particular anointing. You see, when God calls you cannot obey. I must be obedient unto the heavenly vision. So I think it's time for me to start my own ministry. Calculations have been made. Money. Be careful about money. Nothing should be based on money. I relate with Bishop. Bishop is my personal friend. We don't relate with money at all. And I'm glad of that relationship. I relate with Reverend Nat. You don't relate to money. Even you should not marry because of money. If money controls your marriage, you are in trouble. I say, if money controls your marriage, you are in trouble. I'm preaching to you. Those of you brothers who have become triakojo, let me pay for the sister so that she will love me. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. I say you are in trouble. Money! Don't let money. No. You are making a mistake. You are in trouble. Because he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. In the same way as, listen, sisters who are looking, money is directing you. Be careful. It's a very dangerous move. Listen to me, brothers. Any woman that requires money so that she can love you, she's not a good woman. I'm preaching. She is not a good woman at all. She is not a good wife at all. If it takes money to woo her, then she's a bad one. Don't take her. Don't take her at all. If she's coming because of your job or your car, then don't take her. She's a very bad woman. Because what did the Bible say? The Bible said the precious woman, her price is far above rubies. So if you can be bought with woman, then you are, if you can be bought with money, then you are not precious. Then you are not precious. I said, then you are not precious. Yeah. Because the Bible said the precious woman, her value is far above rubies. So if it takes $200, $500, $1,000 to buy you, then you are not precious. So any woman that you can buy with money or is coming because of money, ignore. She's not a good one. The good ones, you can't buy them. I said the good ones, you cannot buy them. $1 million should not be able to buy you. No, it shouldn't buy you. Tell me you cannot buy me. Because I'm far above rubies. I'm preaching. So this type of girls who are, their eyes are open like this. Hey. Who have shined their face. Hey. They are not good. They are not good at all. Let the relationship not be based on money. Hallelujah. Yeah. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Yeah. They call it what? Lipo. Hey, what is that? I don't know. Have you had one? Lipo, Kasi. It's serious. Yeah. A brother was trying to win a sister, you know, in those days when we were on campus, you know. I mean, when we were on campus in Lagos, traveling abroad was not that common. You understand? A few people go on vacation, London, Germany, to go and job and come. So when you can travel on, when during the break you can travel to go to London and come back, you know, they are quite, bring sound system to your room. You are kind of, you know, you are in the listen. You are a little bit in the system. So this Christian brother was trying to rob this Christian sister. Then it's talking. Then the sister asked, oh, so where do you spend your vacations? She asked the sister, where do you normally spend your vacations? Then the Christian brother said, oh, some long back. I usually spend that in Korea. which is bite and chew. As soon as he said that, my sister said, I'll pray about it. And that was it. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. A few minutes more because I hear we are closing at 6 o'clock. So let me try and round up. No, I'm tell you. Hallelujah. So don't let us be deceived. Yeah, that's, so I pray about it. That's the end of the thing. In career. Even the name of the town. He said, I pray about it. What's the end of it? Not even Abidjan. I've been saying Lagos for Abidjan. Even Lomé. In career. And then. At least I cry. Yeah. From that time, the sisters said, I won't pray about it. That's the end of the. Yeah. Yeah. Is she up till now? But it's okay. Because the relationship should not be based on money. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Are you here with me? Honeymoon at Nkariya. A bad part. Mercy. Honeymoon. I've not thought about it. Honeymoon, I think. It's a movie. Never thought about it, but shall it not be easy? So that was the end of the hallelujah. So listen, learn to be. See, that is why we must encourage people to do things not based on money. Hallelujah. Knowing that it is actually a privilege. Hallelujah. So what I also want to say, that in the same vein, you see, I'm talking to you as, because I can see you as all future lay pastors, lay ministers, okay? So in the same vein, do you want to become lay pastors and lay ministers? Are you desirous? Yeah. So I'm telling you, I have to develop the skills, because I'll be a lay pastor for a long time. So I can say from experience, Reverend has been a lay pastor, and by the grace of God, I'm a successful lay pastor. So I'm talking about develop, you must develop skills. And I'm searching from the same book. Develop the four essential skills of a lay pastor. I'm preaching from the same book. Next time we get a book, read it. You see, first of all, let me just talk about one thing. See, to do well as a volunteer, or to do well, okay, to do well as a volunteer, a shepherd, listen, learn to develop your professional life too. Or your business life. I'm telling you the truth. Because I've been at this for a long time. And I've seen that the people who fall out and complain are the people who are not doing well. Can I talk to you? Yeah. So what happened? Now their job is not working. Their career is not working. So then now they are looking for the church, and the church as an alternative source of income. So develop that aspect. This is a little addition the bishop put in the book, and I'm touching because I had a meeting with him. Develop that aspect. Develop your career. Develop your professional. And God will provide for you so that you are privileged to work for the church. Not that because you don't have a job, you don't have anything. You come and drum in the church, and they want the church to pay you. And when I say I don't pay you, you say that I don't care. Then you are annoyed and you are talking about me. No, I don't pay people for drumming. You. Rather, I will teach you how to get a good job. Right. I will teach you how to get a good career. I will help you so that you can do this voluntarily. That is why one of the cardinal things to become a successful shepherd or a lay person is not to be lazy. Some people don't work because they are lazy. I'm staying there. Lazy. The work of God is not for lazy people. The work of God is not for, if you want to become a shepherd, a lay person, lay pastor, you have to overcome laziness. And I said that with
this person and I told him, I said, listen to me, brother. Let's start from the Bible. Let's begin from Genesis. Did you see God call any unemployed person?
No.
I told him. Because he keeps on telling me, well, God has called me to full time. I said, did you see God call anybody unemployed? Even the bishop of the church. Have you read his book, Lay People in the Ministry? Didn't he tell them he was a medical student and a doctor? And I said, let's start too. Let's go too. And I started, I took him to say, begin. From Father Abraham. Elijah has a cattle business. When Elijah called him, Matthew was sitting at the task collector. I said, I can tell you one person after Moses was a prince of Pharaoh, very educated. God never called any lazy and unemployed person. So this thing that you don't do anything and you are using the church as an reason because you are always there. And then, I came to set up. And then, I said, look, I would rather you find a job and come and help. Because me, who has come to preach, I've gone to work and I'm coming to preach. How come you don't want to go and work and come and stand in the church and sing? I'm preaching to you. This is what brings the discontent, the discontentment and the grumbling. This man is always very tired. And let me tell you something. The world is ruled by tired people. Any problem I've had in the Manhattan church, I've had with lazy people. Because one person I cannot stand is a lazy person. I cannot. If you are in my church and you are lazy, I will sack you. Because it's a very bad disease. It's worse than Ebola. Read the scripture. Peter, everybody that God used. Peter was fishing, John was fishing. Paul made tent. Matthew was collecting tax. Luke was a doctor. Listen to me. You see, and I'm telling you that if you want to be fruitful, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is a great gain. It's a great gain. It's a great gain. It's a great game. Hallelujah. So if you are going to school, go to school well. I said, go to school well. If you are doing a profession, do it well. Do it well. If you are working, work well. So that you, and pray for the grace to come back. You are content. You know that, look, at least I am doing something for the Lord. Otherwise, it brings a lot of envy and jealousy and hatred. Then after a while, if these are the people who begin to talk, I've wasted my time. No, you have not wasted your time. You didn't do anything with your time. You did not. You did not. Can I preach to you? You did not do anything with your time. So don't blame Reverend Nat. What has he done to you? You have to Reverend Nat for nothing. What has he done to you? I've wasted my time. All these years in the church, I've wasted my time. In this Reverend, what has he? This church, they always keep on, they like to use people. Has he used you? You did not do nothing. You were the one who was staying in your house. I called one brother, I said, what are you doing? So, you know, I'm waiting upon the Lord and pray. I said, listen to me. Get up and go. Stop that rough there. This, I'm waiting upon the Lord. I'm waiting upon the Lord. See, and you saw that they are lying. They stay how they watch movies, Nigerian movies. Videos. Video game. A grown up man, you can't go and work. You're playing video game. And you want the church to pay you. You see, sometimes they don't even ask for the church to pay them directly, but you see, they have a way of sort of like everything I do, I must be. They post for it. I'm serious. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So learn to develop. Look, it's said in the book of John, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. We want you to prosper. As we say, we are not poor by the grace of God. And I want you to prosper. I really, really want you to prosper. Amen. That one, they don't joke. It's my heart desire. Reverend, all of us, it's our desire for you to prosper. Yes, sir. And God wants you to prosper. Yes, sir. But, you see, learn, because you see, it is that thing, that they're not being content with your personal life that you bring into the church.
Because you're not content. Yeah. Things are not working for you. So now you are angry with the church. Alternative. And now you are saying that the church has wasted your time. Really? God has wasted your time? How can God waste your time? How can God waste your time? I spent all these years in the church. And look at me. God has not wasted your time. I'm showing you the revelation. Rather, he said, I will bless the work of your hand. I tell you, because you work for God, whatever you put your hand to, God will bless you. A lot of struggles that we have had with our church members, people who were active some time ago but have left, is because of this thing. So like, if you come, like, my hand on first lap, I'm always on the first lap, people. I say, you better study, you. I'm looking at their grades. I tell them all the time, you get to see, I am firing you. Oh, yeah. We who started the church, the person who started the church is a doctor. What are you talking about? Because I see greater. I'm on them. I'm always encouraging people. Look, I say, I wish above all things that that may prosper. I'm sure that a latest addition to this book, flourishing skill. Wow. Develop your flourishing skill. Develop your flourishing skill. Develop. See, some of you guys should develop flourishing skills so that, see, because at the end of the day, in your heart, you want to work for God, but situations are not allowing you. So develop your flourishing skills. So that, see, there's something called flourishing skills and early retirement skills. Yeah. Oh, early retirement skills. So that, because in your heart you want to work for God. Yeah. And believe God for early retirement that things are floating for you. Things are floating. Early retirement. You have a house here, a house here, a house here, a house here. At the end of the month, you keep on calling, Mr. Smith, I haven't gotten your rent this month. Have you put it in the bank? Mrs. Juan, your check is too late. Have you paid it? Early retirement skills. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So I want to say, let's develop it. See, and the key to that is, lay ministry is wisdom and sacrifice. That's right. That's it. Hallelujah. So now in our church, we don't encourage. Look, if you want to be full time. See, and like, even full time, like I told you, full time is not for lazy people. At all. So if you think that, oh, let me slide through so I can come in. No. God never employed any person. If there's one person who's tired than anybody on the surface of the earth, that is Bishop Dag, he's always tired. Nobody is with you. It's amazing. I live with him. He's old. I say, actually, I tired by you, tired past me. Yeah. And that's how it is. Rabbi is always tired. Brett is always tired. So why do you don't want to be tired? I went to home last night. When you called me, I said, "Kweku Chala, I'm tired." I said, "Chala, come." I just came from work. And I worked 12 hours in an emergency room in Newark. You don't know how the place is like. Emergency room with Ebola scare. In Newark with Ebola. Or every stupid person. One lady came. A child has a pink eye. I said, why are you here in the middle of the night? I saw on the news that they get a pink eye when they got Ebola. I said, you are stupid. I was so annoyed. Idiot. With a pink eye for you to see whether the child has Ebola. Your face.
<That's>
was like, Ebola scare. But hey, I tell you, amen. So let's continue to work for the Lord. Amen. See, and your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. I say your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. So I want to encourage all of you, do well in your secular job. Because God wants you to prosper. You see, and over the long time, over the long time, we have seen that those who do well even last longer in the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. And God will bless you. You see, God, He rewards. Hallelujah. So let us fight against people who want to kill the lay ministry. Okay? I have so many things to share with you, but I tell you. See, let's fight against people who kill the lay. Amen. Yeah, let's fight against it. People who say that, oh, what? Okay? Let's fight it every day, this, every day, rehearsal, every day. Every day, this. Why? What's wrong with you? No, let's fight against it. Amen. I say, you are tired. Okay? Let's fight against those people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's fight against them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you getting blessed?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's fight against them. Yeah. It says in Galatians 1:9. You see, it said, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. If any man, what I want to show you is that this church was built with lay. And lay means you are not paid. Lay means volunteer, I'm concluding. And that is how this church started. And God has been a blessing. So if anybody should come and write up and say, you know, I think from now you have to be paid for the drums. You have to, let him be accursed. If any man. If any man. That is not how Lighthouse started. If you want to be paid for singing, then find another church. If you want to be paid for coming for rehearsal, if any man. Yeah, go there. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we shouldn't give people place and room to start talking. This is what destroys it. Hallelujah. Is it a beautiful church?
Yes.
I said, is it a beautiful church?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So let's fight it. I mean, what is the point? It says in Galatians 2:18, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Should we spend so much time labor and build something and then later on fight against the very engine that carried the church? The very engine. A church that thrived on the lay. Now we are fighting, we are destroying it. Hallelujah. Now we are destroying it. Hallelujah. Don't destroy it.
Amen.
I said, don't let us destroy it.
Amen.
If you hear any of those things, tell them, look, this is how we build this church.
Amen.
And we will not destroy this grace. And it's working. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you even joined the church because you found out the pastor was not paid.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's why you stayed.
Yeah.
Some of you. Not all of us, some of you. Because I knew a member who came to join when I was in the new work. I said, why have you come? He said, I heard you are a doctor, you are not paid. That's why I've come. Because the other church, and I don't like the pastor being paid. I said, your face. But anyway, you are welcome. Hallelujah. And also, more importantly, see, I'm giving you the scriptures. Go and read about it. More important, in Galatians 2:21, he said, you see, listen, in Galatians 2:21, he said that, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Okay? I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ, you see, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not. You see, it is a grace that God has given to us for lay people to work. So don't let us frustrate it. Don't frustrate the grace. Don't frustrate. Because I have not been to any Bible school. I have not been to any seminary. He has not been to any Bible school. He has not been to any seminary. He has not been to any Bible school. He has not been to any Bible school. He has not been to any Bible school. But don't tell us that we can't preach that like those who are preaching. Am I an inferior preacher? I said, am I an inferior preacher? Am I a secondary preacher? Am I inferior? Am I an inferior preacher? Do I look an inferior preacher? So somebody who has not been to a seminary, no Bible school, and is preaching like those who have been to seminary Bible school, can't you see that it's the grace of God? Can't you see that it's a certain grace? So why are you, do you want to frustrate the grace?
It's a grace.
It's a grace. Somebody who can work all night, wake up very tired, and come and preach, and people will bless, and I can lay hands and the sick will recover. Can't you see that it's a grace? I'll tell you. So God has given us a certain grace. I mean, look at it. For most preachers to come and preach like this, they have gone to the mountains to wait to go wherever before. I was dealing with Ebola in the red eye. And yet still, I come and a certain anointing is upon my life. Let me tell you something. Do not frustrate the grace of God. It's a grace. I see the whole thing as a grace. I see the whole lay ministry like a grace God has given to us. Because, you know, Paul said, let me talk like a fool. Sometimes when I sit back and I hear people who will say they are full-time preachers and they are preaching, I say, this word, my dear Charlie, me too, I can share it in another dimension. I mean, I'm talking like a fool, forgive me. But it also shows that a certain grace. A certain grace. A certain grace. A certain grace. So don't let us frustrate the grace. Do not let us frustrate the grace. It's a grace upon the church. Hey, this man is always tired. Come, preaching powerfully. And he's always tired. Preaching. The whole day, when he said he was waiting on God, he was not waiting on God at all. He was just reading law papers. One after another, one after another. And stand there and takes away from here and away from here. And revelations are coming. Don't take it for granted. There is a certain grace. And don't let us frustrate the grace of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's a certain grace. There's a certain grace. I'm telling you, our ministry is purely based on grace. My ministry, it is 100% grace. He can testify. He can testify. I didn't go to Bible school. Neither did I go to SU when I was even young. I didn't go so. When I went to officiate his mass wedding in Abbey, as I was preaching, in there. He said, after the wedding, some guy came to see him. He said, the guy who was preaching, he looks like some guy I know. He said, the voice and everything, but it cannot be him. He said, everything sounded like this, but it cannot be him. So the guy is up, he was in school. We used to call him Ross. But it cannot be lost. That's what he told me. He told me. Yeah. It cannot be him. No. The guy was telling, the guy who officiated the wedding, he looks like the guy, but it cannot be him. So, you know what I'm saying? Because even he was wondering, how can such a person minister like this? That's what I'm telling you. Do not frustrate the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't let us frustrate the grace. Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's a certain grace that has come upon our life. And let us walk in that grace. Paul said, you see everybody in their grace. You see? Be strong in the grace. And we have to be strong in our grace. The grace of lay people working for God. Let us be strong in the grace. Let us be strong in the grace. And see, and God rewards. That's what I conclude by saying. God rewards. I say God will reward us. Okay? God reward us. Amen.
Amen.
God rewards. I tell you, don't let us frustrate the grace at all, because we serve a God who rewards. Amen.
Amen.
He said in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12. Revelation 22:12. Yeah. He said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I come quickly, and my reward is what? With me. To give to every man according to as he works. Listen to me. God is not only a recorder. He is a rewarder. But God is both a recorder and a rewarder. Whatever you are doing, he's recording. And whatever you are doing, he will reward. Yeah. He's both a recorder and a rewarder. That's why Hebrews 11:6 says that he that come to God must know that one, he is. And two, he is a rewarder. He is what?
A
I say he is what?
A
I say he is what?
A
I say he is what? And let me say it again, over and over again. You see, God does not pay you for your work. He rewards you. There's a difference. It's a wide difference between being paid and being rewarded. God does not pay us. He rewards us. Because you are paid based on the contract you signed. Your hourly rate. You said, they say they will pay you $8 an hour. So you come and you work for 10 hours. At the end of the day, it's 80. Because that is your salary. You are being paid for that. But rewards are not that. Rewards are not proportionate to what you do. Reward, you qualify for a reward. Okay? Okay? You qualify for a reward. And God rewards, he doesn't pay. So reward, sometimes, so what you are giving as a reward, sometimes it's out of proportion to the effort that you put in. You didn't get it? Yeah. Salary is linear. But reward is out of proportion. It's out of proportion. God is not, does not pay you. He rewards. What it means is that you just have to do something small, and what God will give you back cannot match what you put in. Because God is a rewarder.
Amen.
For example, even your salvation. Do you think you qualify to be in heaven? Do you think so? Do you think you qualify to be in heaven? Do you think you qualify to be in a place where Joseph is? Huh? You and Joseph are the same place. Do you think you qualify? Joseph, even when he sees a beautiful naked woman, he runs away. Even when you see a woman in clothes, you are peeping. Hey, I'm preaching. I'm preaching. And do you think you have qualified to be at the same place? You and Joseph. Joseph, I say you and Joseph. You even when the woman is coming, you are still.
My God,
you and Joseph, are you co-equals? Are you co-equal with Joseph? I say, are you co-equal with Joseph? Do you think you qualify to be in the same place as Paul? Paul went through shipwreck, hunger, and you even when there's traffic, you don't come to church. Do you think you qualify? No. So in that sense, you do not qualify. By by grace, God rewards you. See, even though you are eligible to go to heaven because of believing in Jesus Christ. It is by grace, through faith, are you saved. So that even though you don't deserve to be there, even though you don't deserve to be in heaven because you don't have all the necessary requisites, by just accepting Jesus Christ, God rewards you with heaven. So heaven is actually a reward, not something like.
Wow.
Yeah. Heaven is a reward. God just rewards you with heaven. That because you have believed in my son and has accepted me as your personal savior, I'm rewarding with heaven. I'm rewarding with eternal life. I am rewarding with eternal life. I am rewarding. You cannot wait to go to heaven. It's a reward.
Amen.
That's all. It's a reward.
You and Joseph.
You and Joseph. Jack. Jack. That Joseph you're into your ear. You and Anna the prophetess. Anna the prophetess.
I come nowhere near.
Staying in the temple praying and serving you and Anna. You and Virgin Mary. You and Virgin Mary. I'm saying Virgin Mary.
It's not possible.
It has to be the grace. I say it has to be the grace. Because even now that you say you have changed and you have converted and you are born again from time to
time.
No. You cannot add virgin to it. Virgin. Virgin Islam. It cannot be. But you qualify to be in heaven. I say you qualify because God has rewarded you by accepting and believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a reward. So God actually rewards. He does not pay. He just rewards you. Hallelujah. That is why some of the things that He can give you, money cannot buy. That is why everybody should listen to the message Bishop preach about bearing fruitfulness. The testimony of the girl who had the Ebola virus. Yeah. If you had the internet, I would have showed you her picture. Yeah. Did you listen to that message? In fact, if I had internet, I would have showed you. It's a real miracle. It's a real miracle documented on ABC, Huffington News, BBC News. Yeah. If I had anything, I would have shown her picture. She was just a simple medical student from Nigeria who had come to work in Ghana, who had come to go to medical school in Ghana. And while she was in Ghana, she joined Lighthouse. And she used to volunteer with Healing Jesus. They are going to Damango. They are going to Wale. She used to volunteer. And when I say volunteer, I mean volunteer because Lighthouse, to move from Accra to Damango, Bishop does not pay your transport. You pay your own transport.
Lay
fully. She just go and give needles. Take blood pressure. Humble, just following around. As a medical student. Going around. Just volunteering. Doing her best for healing Jesus. Then she graduated. And she goes back to her home country, Nigeria. 4 years down the line, 5 years down the line, little did she know that a Patrick Sawyer will catch Ebola from Liberia. It's in very simple. Go check it. I'm telling you facts. This is a document. Patrick Sawyer, a Liberian, an American in Liberia, gets Ebola, comes to Lagos, comes to the hospital, or a Dr. Adadivo's hot clinic. Everybody touches the patient, and then the father of the guy has Ebola, including her. She was the one who satisfied the guy to be dead. Go and read that story. Her name is called Dr. Edo. Yeah. She signed the death certificate. Yeah. She signed it. And then after, they found that the guy is from Ebola. Now who touched the guy? Now who touched him? So they start going to the, okay, you were there. They collected all of them. An ambulance comes. They said, read the story. It's on BBC. Huffington Post. The ambulance, they said, they didn't touch you. Into their car. They don't even get close. They take them to quarantine. Vomiting, diarrhea, fever.
Yes. Oh. Today, this one is dead. Tomorrow, this one is dead. Doctor, I got the body head with a clinic. They go. She's dead. And you are seeing the people dying around you. For 14 days, running in diarrhea. Everybody around her dead. She was the only person who survived.
Amen.
It cannot be coincidence. It cannot be coincidence. I say it cannot be coincidence. I say it's a reward. And when they interviewed her, she said she believed God and she trusted God. And said, my pastor keep on sending me messages. And as I lay there, somehow he felt that God would save her. Don't tell me that she's special. It's just a reward. God reward. Because Ebola, dollars cannot buy Ebola. Everybody died. Everybody died. It's on BBC. Everybody. After 14 days. He said, look, she at the point, just drink diarrhea for me. At the point, she has to wear diapers. That's how bad the diarrhea is. But she kept on soaking the word. It's brilliant, God. Everybody died. After 14 days, they came to check it. Are you still there?
I'm still there.
Daniel, are you still there?
Is that Daniel? Are you still there? They came and look. Are you still there? He said, I'm there. I'm still here. They finally look at her, said, you are cured. Out. What a reward. Little did she know that as a medical student just walking up and down, just volunteering for poor people in the north, she was buying a good reward for a disease that cannot be cured. And this is an authentic Ebola miracle. Yeah. Go read it. Yeah. Even people are dying in America. She survived. They interviewed her on Huffington Post. CNN interviewed her. This girl.
What
a reward. Wow. And all that, you showed a picture of her sitting by a bishop in one of the crusades. Just stay quiet. Go if you have internet after church. I'll Google, I'll show you. Beautiful. Don't tell me God has no reward. He's a great rewarder. I say he's a great rewarder. I say he's a great rewarder. I say he's a great rewarder. Hallelujah. Church, the Bible says your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's why I came to encourage you. If you are shepherds, let us do the work well. I say let us do the work well. Because you see, in conclusion, not only will our rewards be on earth, there are also major rewards in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. That is why it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 to 4. Keep standing. We are closing. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Verses 1 to 4. Yeah. Oh, my $8 an hour has expired. Yeah. Are you there? All right, let me read for you. Somebody has to read it. I'll read you. She's telling me that my money has finished. Read with the microphone.
The elders who are among you are exalt. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ.
A fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed.
Shepherd the flock of God which is among you.
Shepherd! He said, Peter was talking. He said, I also am an elder. I'm a follower of God. And among you. And I'm telling you people that shepherd. Be a shepherd. Shepherd the people. Visit them. Encourage them. Train them. Shepherd the flock.
Amen.
He was talking to them like I'm talking to you. Like I'm like Peter. Shepherd the flock. Because I'm also a shepherd like you. Shepherd the flock. Visit. Do your best. Don't put a burden only on your pastor. Do the little you can do. Rehearsal. Visiting. AFM. Shepherd the flock. Continue. Shepherd the flock. No. Give me the King James. Feed the flock which is among you. taking an oversight thereof, not by constraint. Don't let us force you. We don't have to beg you. We don't have to warn you. Not by constraint. Yeah, we have to bring a form. Okay, how many people did you visit? Come and check. It's like if you don't check a form, you do it. We have to tick, tick, and tick. No. Jesus said no. Don't do it by constraint. But what? But what? But what? And not for what? For what is what? What is what? Don't do it because you want to be paid. I'm preaching. Don't do it. Hey, how much will they pay me? Don't do it because of money. Don't frustrate the grace. But of a ready of mind. But of a ready of mind, continue.
No, as being lost over those entrusted to you.
As being lost over those entrusted to you.
But being examples to the flock.
Being example to the flock.
And when the chief shepherd.
And when what? And when what? And when what?
He will you will receive the crown of glory.
Amen.
That does not fade away.
Oh. This is the best I want to end. And when the chief shepherd appears, who is the chief shepherd?
Christ.
I say, who is the chief shepherd?
Christ.
When Christ appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. That is why I came to exhort you. I came to exhort you. I came to exhort you. My shadow diocese, let us shepherd the flock willingly, not without constraint, knowing that one day when the trumpet sounds, the chief shepherd himself will come and we shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. God bless you. Let's come to it.
Wow. Hey. If you didn't go to work last night, I don't know the anointing that you would have brought this evening. Amen. Listen, it's been a very powerful time. Amen. Let's put our hands again for Reverend Osei. Amen.